Amen. Well, greetings. Greetings of love and peace and joy. What a tremendous blessing to be gathered together here. Thank you, Brother Dan. I had to think of this scripture here. As Brother Dan was talking about knowing Jesus, does Jesus know you? That, to me, that is the important question. 1 John chapter 2 says this, "He that saith he abideth in him," and the "him" is referring to Jesus Christ, "ought himself also to walk even as Jesus walked." Think of those words. Those words came to my heart as Brother Dan was sharing what he did. So we can profess to know God. We can profess to know Jesus Christ. And there can be all kind of evil and all kind of things spewing out of our heart that are not like Christ. May God help us. This happens. Thank you, Brother Dan. I think it would be a blessing if maybe we would just stand, and maybe it'd be a blessing if I'd call on a brother here to just pray for this part of the service. Maybe my brother Mark. Is there a mic on this side? Mark, would you just pray for me? Pray for this part of the service. And I know how feeble I am, and I just feel God's need for God's help.
Yes, let's pray. Father, we do ask here that you would come and pour your Spirit out among us here, that you would give Brother Aiden utterance here. You would give him words to speak. You would give him a clarity of mind. And these words here, Father, would fall upon fertile ground, that we may, as listeners here, that these words may change our lives, and that we may become more into your image. It would lead, guide, and direct our paths here, Father, more into righteousness. We just ask for hearts to get here and understand, and we just ask that you would continue to mold us and shape us into your image. We're extremely grateful for the words that have already came today, Father. You've truly already blessed us. We just ask for more of your blessing here. Continue to lead, guide, and direct our thoughts and our paths. Pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, truly my first thoughts go to also to you mothers here this morning. My heart is just touched as I think of God and His wisdom as He created you the way He did, each one of you. And I had to think of this exchange that I think speaks to some of my heart here. It's in John chapter 19. Do I have this mic a little too close? Up here or something, it seemed like I'm here. Okay. John chapter 19, let's read in verse 26. Let's start in verse 25. And this is, Jesus is hanging on the cross at this time. It says, Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. You with me? Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. It was quite a shame to identify with a malefactor. Someone that had done something so wrong as to be having to be crucified. Here we find Jesus' mother beside his cross. And I think that better than I can put into words describes what God has put in the heart of you mothers. Our heart is that each one of you children would honor your mothers each day. But I also think it's a blessing to be able to appreciate and thank our wives and our moms and our mothers. I think it's a blessing to be able to do that. As Jesus, so we see Jesus standing here. We see Jesus' mother standing here beside his cross, and it looks like it could have went just a little while before Jesus recognized her. But verse 26 says, "And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home." Children, Jesus Christ leaves us an example here of how he cared for his mother. There's more principles in these short passages than I have the ability to draw out. But Jesus Christ's mother was very special to him. Then he honored her. Even though she was earthly, even though she was not God like he was, and all of these things, he honored her, and he leaves us an example for us to follow. May God help us to do that. Also, just like to give a word to encourage you mothers. I think it's easy for you to not realize the strength, the impression, the impact that you mothers make on our children. I had to think of these words in Proverbs. It says, "The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him." The prophecy that his mother taught him. I think it's easy for us to not realize, mothers, the role and the strength and even the influence and even, you might say, even the power. We think of the words that say, "The hand that rocks the cradle." I think of that a lot. The hand that rocks the cradle has such an impression on who is laying in the cradle that it rules the world. Those are amazing words. Well, this morning, in a clear, distinct way, God in his own way laid this subject on my heart of a personal cross. And it's one of the subjects that I have so much to learn about, and it seems like it's one that I need to experience more in my own life. But as we think of this subject, I think it's important. There's different voices that we hear in our day about the cross and what all it is. And my heart isn't necessarily going to get into all of the theology or the nitty-gritty, you might say, of what Jesus teaches here. But it is more to just open up and give some thought and discourse on this subject. It's a subject that, for some reason, seemed like the Lord clearly laid it on my heart here. So, what am I looking at wrong here? Seemed like I'm okay. Yeah, let's turn to Matthew chapter 16, if you all would, for just some opening scriptures here. A personal cross. I was reminded, as we do this, the early church, they They looked at themselves, they named themselves as the church under the cross. In other words, we could say, is the way they thought about their lives and the way they lived was the church that had the sentence of death upon their lives. And I think it does us well to think of that and to live in that same way. The church under the cross of Jesus Christ. But here in Matthew chapter 16, if you're with me, let's start at verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, and a disciple is just a little higher word for a follower. So there were people that were following Jesus. He was a rabbi in his day. And there were people that were following him, and he taught them. And this is what he said to him. He said, If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus doesn't say here, if anyone wants to follow me, he should take up my cross and follow him. Sometimes it seems like that's how this is interpreted. But that's not really what it says here. And it says the same thing in Luke, and we'll read that a little later. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So, I think these words teach us that if there's anyone that is aspiring to be a true follower of Jesus Christ, he has a cross. There's a cross that God would want him to pick up and bear. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father and with his angels. Then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Now, let's turn over to, while we're into Scripture here, let's turn over to Luke chapter 9 as well. There's basically the same words there. The words are just a little bit different. And I think it's a blessing if we just read that here before we get started with some of the thoughts that we have. Let's start in verse 22. He says, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. Now, this morning again, as we felt led to share on the subject of a personal cross, our heart is just to share a few insights that may encourage someone here today. The cross, the personal cross, is a subject that varies in each other's lives. Some experience it to a greater degree than others. But I would want to testify that it is as we sometimes face this personal cross, it is an experience that sometimes is so sacred that there's not words to describe what God does in our life. And I want to encourage us that it's an experience that is not to be, those weren't really the quiet words. It's an experience that I want to encourage us to embrace. It's not something to fear. It's not something that harms us. There's a very wise master that is behind every detail of the cross that we're asked to bear. And this Master has an intent that will not be denied. As He leads us into the circumstances that allow us to be shaped and molded. You know, brothers and sisters, maybe there's some of you here that will not understand what I'm saying, but I'm sure there's some here that do. I would like for us, from what is shared today, to have more freedom to embrace the things that God brings into our life. I need it in mine. I need more of this in my life. But all of us want to be conformed to Jesus Christ. That is our desire. But brothers and sisters, there's only one way this happens. It doesn't come through knowledge. It doesn't come through wisdom. It doesn't come through any other way than experiencing the cross in a very small way, the same way that Jesus did. Oh, to be like Thee. We sing that song. But sometimes we don't understand. Sometimes we don't understand what it takes to be like Jesus. I know I don't. I have so much to learn. I'd just like to quickly hurry to say that if this is a subject that I have much to learn on, and I feel very unqualified to even be speaking on it. The fact is, I would never be touching this subject if it wasn't that I had another subject on my heart that God clearly impressed on my heart that He, for whatever reason, He wanted me to share on this subject. It was very clear to me. So somehow, may someone draw some encouragement from these small utterings here, and may someone be encouraged here. But God works in unseen, deeper ways as we walk with Him. And brothers and sisters, this is happening in our lives. And many times no one else knows what God is doing. And it's not that we're trying to be secretive, but it's a sacred, holy experience. And God has a specific reason for doing all of this, and I don't know that I have all the reasons, but we want to talk some scripture here. But I think it's something that I'm not sure if I've ever heard a message preached on this, a personal cross. Maybe I have, and I'm just not remembering it. But we're faced today with a Christianity that doesn't have a cross. And brothers and sisters, I don't know if that's possible. And I'm not talking about the cross. I'm not talking about a Christianity that doesn't talk about the cross of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about a Christianity that doesn't have a personal cross. And I don't think there is a true Christianity without the cross. And we will see that as we go into Scripture here, if we can get to all the Scriptures and whatnot. One thing I wanted to touch on a little is we have the doctrine, and I haven't heard it in our midst and necessarily, but we have the doctrine around us that about our carnal nature and our old man being eradicated, that somehow we come to Jesus Christ, and once and for all, somehow our carnal nature, our flesh, its desires, and all these things are just eradicated and they are no more, they're powerless, they're dead. They're dead in Christ. And Romans does say that. I believe there's a position that we have. I believe what the Bible says. The Bible says, let's just turn there and read those words so I don't misquote them. But in Romans chapter 6, let's just read some of these words here. It says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. It talks about, and it gives us this position in Christ, and it is by faith that we have this. We believe, as the scriptures say, that we are dead and our life is hid with Christ in God. This is by faith, and it's a daily practice. We daily get to practice the outworking of this in our life. That's the part that's many times missing, is the outworking of it in our life. And I want to encourage us that faith will help us to do this. Faith will help us with the outworking of this in our life. It's not just a one-time pass through a drive-through or a truth that is abstract from practical daily living. What we read here in Romans is definitely a foundation and a position in Christ. And now, by faith, we daily walk this out in our lives. Again, as we think of the scriptures here in Matthew 16, verse 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And I just wanted to take notice of the personal pronouns used here by Christ, his disciples and his cross, making it very personal. Christ's words seem to be very clear that his followers have a personal cross to take up and to bear. Our cross is different than Christ's. Than Christ's cross. The cross Christ bore was a giving of himself for others, as ours is for our own good. Our cross is to shape and mold us more into his image. Ours is more of a personal thing for our own lives to draw us closer to God and to be more like Jesus Christ. Our experiences with the cross are all different. And we cannot really compare our experience with Christ, the way he gave himself for us. We're not comparing our experiences with his. Ours is way less than his. His experience transcends any of ours many times. Even if we were to suffer martyrdom by crucifixion, he was perfect. He was the Son of God. He was sinless. We're not comparing. That's not what we're doing here today, is saying that our experience is like his. But yet, in a small way, Paul tells Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, if you have your Bibles, why don't we all stand for just a little bit as we read the scripture, can we? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. It says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Those are interesting words. The word conformable, it is an interesting word. It means to make of like, form with another person or thing. I have it misspelled here. I wrote out my own notes and I have it misspelled, but it says, it means to make alike or to form something, to be conformed. So here is Paul, and he's writing to the Philippians, and he's telling them that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, and being made conformable unto his death. It's interesting here. This, my dear brothers and sisters, this is some of God's intent and desire with our personal cross, that the agony of Gethsemane and the suffering of the cross at Calvary will be reproduced in us in such a faint, it's in a much smaller, a much fainter way. But God, I think God would have us experience in a small way what Christ experienced, even though it's far less, yes. Did I say Ephesians? Sorry. Yeah, it's in Philippians, sorry. I'm looking at Philippians and saying Ephesians, sorry. Yeah, it's in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. Or did I say it wrong again? It's in Philippians, I'm sorry. I don't realize I'm saying it wrong here, I'm sorry. Okay. Also, as you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Chapter 4, let's read verse 7 through 12. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Now, how did that all happen? Paul faced physical, he faced about every type of persecution there was. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Always bearing about, that's an interesting scripture there, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. I think that one of God's purposes for a personal cross for each one of us is that we in a small way can relate to what Christ experienced at Gethsemane and at Calvary. Also, 2 Corinthians, I'll have you sit down here in just a little bit. Let's read these scriptures yet, and I'll have you sit down. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. It says, For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our comfort also aboundeth by Christ. Now, that's an interesting scripture considering the subject we're talking about. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation, or you could say the word comfort, also aboundeth by Christ. Also in Philippians, I think I got it right this time, Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. Let us read that as well, and then we'll have you be seated here. For unto you is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. Now you may be seated. So these are interesting words that we're lining up with what Jesus taught in Matthew. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. And so it's a mind, I think of Philippians also here, it talks about Christ's suffering, and it says, arm yourself likewise. Or arm your minds likewise, or something I think it says. I have this account that I'm going to try to share from memory here. The point of it at the end is Christ suffering in one of His own members. And He still does that. Several hundred years ago in Scotland, there was I think it was 200 years ago, there was quite a bit of martyrdom. There was quite a bit of the Christians were persecuted and unto death, and they took this younger woman and this older one, and they staked her out in the water. They staked them out in the water, and as the tide came in, they were far enough out there that they struggled to keep their breath, and so the one that was out further died first, and so the younger one was up closer to shore, and so the men that were persecuting them, they went up to this young lady and said, so what do you see? Do you see what happened to the older one that's out there? Are you ready to recant? Or what are you thinking? And she just boldly testified. They said, what do you see? And she said, I see Christ suffering in one of His very own members. And so I think that that's one comfort that we can take, my dear brothers and sisters, is when we are experiencing that personal cross, I think Christ is ever so close to each one of us during those times. And I just want to encourage us in that way. One of the other points I'd like to make here with the personal cross is God wants to keep our appetites and desires in check. Sometimes He uses the personal cross to do that. Our human appetites and desires carry with them a principle of growth. Our tendency is that they expand and they enlarge our appetites. So we do this a little, pretty soon we're doing it more, and we're doing it more, and we don't even realize we're doing it more and more and more. And I think God wants to use a personal cross in our lives to keep these in check. They expand by indulgence, and if not restrained, they fill and exhaust the very life out of our soul. They can. Hence, the need to watch over and deny them is real. The need to watch over and deny these appetites is real. You know, when you think of the animals, God has... So you think of a lion. You think of a lion and its appetite for meat. It seems like even with the lion, God has set bounds that lion can never... His appetite for meat doesn't just keep growing and growing and growing. Or take any of the animals. In that way, God has set a boundary, a limit, and they don't just get bigger and bigger, their appetites. He's done that. But for us men, man having imagination and invention is able by these faculties to fill his sensual desires indefinitely. And that's what we have on the internet, and that's what we have everywhere, is man's invention and his imagination, and it can just keep going and going and going. So our personal cross helps keep these things checked and in balance. May that help us to embrace it as well. Our personal cross is designed to help us deny our carnal self, our reason, our will, our affections, especially when they oppose the revealed truths in God's Word. Again, our personal cross is designed to help us deny our carnal nature, our carnal self, our reason, our will, our affections, and all of these things, especially when they stand opposed to what we know as the will of God, or what God's Word teaches, or the truths in God's Word. As Titus 2:12 says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And our personal cross is meant to help us to do this. The exercise of self-denial is meant to wean us from entertainments or anything that diverts us from serving God. The personal cross is designed to bring us back our appetites, our desires, our will, our ambitions, and all of these things, and to keep them in check, and to help us stay broken, and to realize, is there anything in my life that is diverting me or causing me and my affections to turn away from God? Turn away from serving God. May we allow our personal cross to aid us in this way. That is God's heart for us. Romans here, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present age, this present time, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which should be revealed in us. I think that's actually Romans. I forgot to put the reference down here. I'm trying to go by memory. And I guess it doesn't matter here, but that's what it says. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which should be revealed in us. Here's another little account that I'd like to for us to think about as we're making our way through life. You know, think of someone that's getting ready to travel. Then picture us traveling through life. As a traveler, when two ways are proposed to him, one very pleasant, the other way very steep and dangerous, he doth not look which way is most pleasant, but which way takes him best to the journey's end where he wants to go. So we, as children of God, should not look to what is most pleasant and gratifying to the flesh, but how we may best work and serve and glorify God here on earth. I thought that was a blessing. Again, our personal cross is unique and that it cannot be borne by someone else. I think maybe some of us have had the privilege of coming alongside someone that is facing a cross in their life. And it's a tremendous challenge that they're going through. But even though someone can come beside us, and someone can offer words of encouragement, there is no one that can bear that cross that God has for you. It is uniquely designed by our Master. And He has specific things in mind that He wants it to accomplish. And there's no one that can bear it for us. It is ours to bear. The sooner we can surrender to it and not fight it and allow it to do its work in our life, the better we are. The better we are for it. It is designed for our own good. There are times that this cross brings experiences, as I've said before, that not too many others can relate to. So, brothers and sisters, some of my heart here is that I've failed in this, but as we know that there are, if you know there's a brother that is facing trials and challenges, that is facing his cross, let's encourage him and let's lift him up. Let's not, sometimes it happens that we're not understanding. I had to think of what the Jews did to Jesus when he was hanging on the cross. They mocked and they ridiculed him and they said, if you're the Son of God, come down off the cross. And he could have done everything that they told him to do, but he didn't. And my heart is that we would not do that to each other. When we know that there's a brother that is facing some challenging times, my heart is that we'd be sensitive to that and that we would encourage him and not mock and ridicule and make things yet harder. I had to think of these words about Jesus Christ. And it says, and he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. It says, he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place. And brothers and sisters, it seems like this is a subject that God wants to bring more freedom in my life and all of us to. First of all, to recognize when it is a cross he wants us to bear so that we can more quickly yield to it and allow it to have its desired effects in our life. And I would have liked to had all of my points in a real clear fashion and had more of them to make here for you all today. But hopefully this will at least start us to, at least may open our hearts and our minds to this subject a bit. As I've said, the intensity of it is different. God our Father knows what is best. And as he says in 1 Corinthians 10, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. But wherewith the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. That is one thing we can trust God for. Our hope is that understanding of this subject will bring freedom to see God working in a deeper way in all of our lives. And maybe also Help us recognize when someone is facing their personal, when someone is facing a cross, and to help them through it. To remove the cross is not the answer. And no one can take their place. But brothers and sisters, it does bring a tender spot into my heart as I think, as we think of all of us suffering, facing persecution, facing trials. We all do. That alone should soften our hearts towards one another and fill our hearts with love for one another and understanding. God is in complete control of our personal experiences. We can squirm and wiggle and we can fight. And sometimes even after we realize that this is God and what He's trying to do, it can take some time for us to completely surrender. It can be our will, our nature, and the way we're made. We're fighters. We don't give up easy. But God has the best in mind for us. God graciously moves ahead with the cross in our lives. It is God who leads and orchestrates and oversees every detail. His intent is the perfecting of our wills as well. 1 Peter 4 says that he no longer should live the rest of his life in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. God wants to use our personal cross, the personal cross He has for us. He wants to use it to perfect our will, to bring our will more in line with God's will. God intends to shape and mold us into the image of His Son. Our carnal man and nature can day by day continue to be molded into His likeness. Is that not our heart? It is. It's our heart that God is able to do that. I had to think of this scripture here as well. Romans 8:29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Maybe can we just stand here in closing, and then I'll have a word of prayer. I know that the day is getting long here for some of you, and some of you are getting kind of sleepy and tired, and the subject today isn't one of excitement, enthusiasm as sometimes. So I'd just like to read these scriptures here in Romans chapter 8, verse 17 through 18. For I reckon, listen to these words, brothers and sisters, please do. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Do we understand what those words are saying? For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now it doesn't seem like I have that. I don't have that down quite right. Let's start in verse 16 here. I didn't put my note down right here on my paper. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Those are amazing words, brothers and sisters. And there's many other scriptures. And there's many other thoughts that I don't have the giftings to bring about this subject of the personal cross. But unless I'm mistaken, I had another message on my heart. And God impressed this one on me. And so, suffering doesn't make sense to our carnal nature. It really doesn't. And the reason it doesn't is we have no way of knowing what all God wants to accomplish. We have no way of knowing what all God is doing. So suffering is a mystery. It really is. And it's one that we need to embrace by faith. There's no way to know what all God is trying to do. I have this little account that I would like to close with that I think gives us a better idea of the mystery that is in suffering. It's a mystery that is something that we're asked to do, and we have no idea why, and we have no way to control the results, and we have no idea to know exactly what God's trying to accomplish. It's something that we need to leave completely with Him and all of its results. But how uncountable is this, says the wax, as from the flame it dropped, melting upon the paper beneath. Do not grieve, said the paper. I am sure it is all right. I was never in such agony, exclaimed the wax, still dropping. It is not without a good design and will end well, replied the paper. The wax was unable to reply at once, owing to a strong pressure. And when it again looked up, it bore a beautiful impression, the counterpart of the seal which had been applied to it. Ah, I comprehend now, said the wax, no longer in suffering. I was softened in order to receive this lovely, durable impression. Yes, I see now it was all right, because it has given me the beautiful likeness which I could not otherwise have obtained. Did you all follow? That is what God wants to do in our life. He wants to stamp in us the beautiful impression of Jesus Christ. And my dear brothers and sisters, there's no other way to obtain that impression than through suffering. Not by might, not by wisdom, not by knowledge. There's no other way. And we want that impression in our lives. How would it be to spend eternity with Christ, but to not have any of His impression in our life here? I think we want to be like Him. Suffering is the only way that can happen in our lives. So, thank you for allowing me to share these few feeble thoughts here, as incomplete as they are, on a personal cross. May God help us to recognize His divine hand in our lives and help us to embrace it and help us to encourage each other when we realize that one or the other is facing a cross like this in our lives. So let's pray. Father, it is true. We have a deep love for Your Son. Maybe it's not as deep as we think it is, Lord, but I know that it surpasses all other loves. There's nothing that we love more than Your Son that we're aware of. So thank You. Thank You, Lord, for this teaching, even though it's hard. It's a sobering message today. But even though it's a message of hope, is my heart, a message of freedom. Help us, Lord, to understand and recognize all the things You bring into our lives. Help us to embrace them. And Lord, help us to also, with love and honor, lift and encourage each other up when we realize that one or the other of us is facing a cross in our life. Most of all, Lord, we do pray that You would continue to shape and mold us into Your dear Son. We pray that we can be found worthy to be part of that spotless bride that You're preparing for Him. As unworthy as we are, would You please not give up on us? Would You please continue to help us, Lord? So thank You for each and everyone that is here today. And may they somehow find grace, even though this is a hard word today, a hard saying, a hard teaching. May we all somehow find grace, as imperfect as it was shared. May we somehow find grace to embrace these words today into our lives. So thank You, Lord. In Your worthy name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. May the Lord have His way in our life.